What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. I just went to my happy place. I just went to Maui, and it was truly amazing. Priceline has always been about getting you to your happy place for a happy price, with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels in Costa Rica or 5-star hotels for 2-star prices in Cabo.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Good news, everyone. It's World of Warcraft this week and a brand new lore episode. That's right. Sit down and listen as Scott and Terpster discover the wide, wonderful world of one Jaina Proudmoore. Enjoy. Greetings, traveler. You've come to this place for a reason. Kneel at the feet of the great storyteller Terpster, who sits upon his log, ready to...
It's not a log, Scott. It's a finely hewn throne. One to spin yarns upon. Not yarn, but tales.
Tales.
And not tales, like stories.
Okay.
Many a great story has been told upon this throne. And today is no different, Scott.
Hold on. In the past, it's been about ancient evils and primordial things. But today...
No, today we look to the threats of the future. For we wonder, who be this lady? And is she good or bad? And I don't know. But maybe we discuss it. Who knows? But in order to see where we're going, we must first look back to where we have come. Come from. Arrive. How did we get here? Which route did we take? Uh-huh. And when we learn these things, my friend, we can guess at we can just have a go at seeing where it might end up. Who knows? Not me.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's impressive. That's sure. Very impressive. So I have to make an admission before we dive into Jaina Proudmoore and her imprint on the world of Warcraft and Azeroth as a whole. But before we do that, I've kind of been sleeping with the enemy, and I want to get this out. I've been playing a lot of Elder Scrolls Online, and I feel slightly guilty about it. But that game kind of found its way. It's kind of hard to explain.
Game now, Morrowind. Have you been playing Morrowind?
Well, that's the funny thing. That's what got me interested in diving back in and checking stuff out. But what ended up happening was I started a level one not in Morrowind because I thought, well, I'm not going to buy this until I know that this game's better than I remember it being. And I started playing it for a while, and now I'm just like a Blade Master dude from, you know, some part of the continent that was always there since launch. And I've not been bored or wanted to stop. I'm enjoying the story and I'm playing it like crazy. And I know I can go anywhere, anytime, because the one Tamriel thing. But I just wanted to point out there in this show where we're going to talk about specific lore in World of Warcraft. I just had to be, you know, full disclosure and let people know I've been.
That is fine, Scott. You see, this story chair knows no king, except me, the story king.
Yeah.
And also, but it does value allegiance, and it will remember this day. It will. For one day, maybe you will cross us. But until then, let's dive straight in to the, I would say, first true love of my life.
Yeah.
Maybe only true love. Of my life.
Yeah.
And my wife, I think she'd stand by that.
yeah.
With Jaina Proudmoore, the most majestic and beautiful of all Proudmoores.
Yeah.
So
are there other hold on before you go on any further, are there significant are we gonna learn of other significant Proudmoores in the history of Jaina? Do her parents matter?
Well, there are three we know of.
Yeah.
There's Daelin Proudmoore, who is Jaina's dad.
Yeah.
He's also called Admiral Proudmoore in Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
Then there's her brother, Derek. That's literally his name, Derek Proudmoore.
Yeah.
He's actually the older brother of Jaina.
Okay.
However, I think he died.
Does he play any significant role with his death? Is it just his brother?
Yeah, no,
he just died.
It goes. So they came under attack from dragon riders from the Horde in the Second War.
Yeah.
And though he attempted to warn his father of danger, Derek, great name, was incinerated by one of the dragons as he stood atop the crow's nest.
Yeah.
His boat was sent to the bottom shortly thereafter. Wow. So Derek died. Daelin, Admiral Proudmoore, survived through into Warcraft 3, whereby he gets defeated by the alliance of Thrall, Rexxar, Chen, Stormstout, and I actually think as well, we'll get into it, but Jaina had a part in her father's death.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because she's got a crazy side to her. Anyway, but that's not that that's crazy. Anyway, he was being a douche. So, Jaina was born around the time of the First War. So around the time of Warcraft 1, she was born.
She was called Jaina at first, right? Jaina?
She was called Va-Jaina. And then the parents thought, hang on a second, guys. If you say that, if you take the hyphen out, that's just vagina. We can't call her that. And they said, well, I don't like the name Jaina on its own.
Yeah.
And they said, well, hang on, how about we, you know, Jaina. You know, they went to like New Jersey.
Got it.
And I said, it's a Jaina Proudmoore.
Yeah.
It also Australian works as well. So Jaina, from the beginning, was in love with the idea and concepts of magic.
Yeah.
She looked to a strong female role model, as we hope all young ladies do.
Yeah.
And in the world of Azeroth, the strongest female there had ever been was Aegwynn, Medivh's mum, the first, well, not the first guardian, but one of the guardians, the one who defeated the Avatar Sargeras and was an absolute badass, but went a little bit loco and kept the power for herself and then passed it on to Medivh.
Yeah.
So as she aspires to be like the great Aegwynn, and sets off on this magical journey. She was invited to Dalaran when it was detected that she had some potential, where she pestered Antonidas, Archmage Antonidas, the big boss man himself, into being his apprentice. And she managed, from the get-go. So already we have a lady. She was born of a kind of a rich family. She aspires to greatness, and you'll always see through Jaina's life, she always has kind of a noble intention. As much as she does strive for greatness amongst herself, is really looking more so towards the service of others.
Right.
So
She's always been very benevolent that way. Like what I'm interested in today, especially at the end of all of this, is you're probably going to, better than anyone I've talked to, connect the lines between kind-hearted, unifying Jaina and pissed off, white streak in her hair, F everybody, everyone sucks,
I mean,
kill the horror
Jaina. I could have called it years ago just based on the fact of how hot Jaina was.
Yeah.
And she's a 10. Uh-huh. You don't get a 10 that's a crazy kind of like 4.
Yeah.
You know, 10's minimum, you're looking at kind of like 7.5, 8.
Yeah.
You know, they gotta be crazy.
Yeah. Kael'thas is a good example of this. A very handsome visage of a man.
Very beautiful man.
Yeah, and gone all kinds of wrong these days.
He's fully off the reservation.
Right.
So Jaina comes from kind of, you know, royal blood as such, you know, extended family. And through that, she, you know, at like, you know, you'd like to imagine kind of like family Christmases, maybe a barbecue in the nice weather.
Sure.
She happens across a beautiful young prince by the name of Arthas, who's actually heir to the throne of Lordaeron, which is like one of the major cities in Azeroth. You've got Lordaeron and Stormwind are the two real major human kingdoms.
Sure.
You've got Stromgarde and other ones, but, you know, they're the cool ones.
He is like, I would say Lordaeron is L.A. to Stormwind's New York.
I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, the thing to bear in mind, obviously, Lordaeron now, for players of the game, that's the Undercity. because of some events that happened during Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Arthas, love him or hate him, Jaina grew to love him.
Yeah.
And so they were very close to the point of being romantic. Mm-hmm. Without getting crude, they probably banged. but they were very much in love. There was probably P&V action. So all of a sudden, though, Arthas abruptly ends the relationship.
Yeah.
Now, the reason this is because Jaina, as much as she was striving for greatness, she was distracted by love. And she wasn't achieving the expectations that her mentor Antonidas had for her.
Yeah.
Or the general kind of citizens of Lordaeron and Dalaran, you know, they were expecting great things from this woman. And as she was maturing into this woman, she was distracted by love. And Arthas, equally, he's got his own commitments. He's, you know, training to be a paladin. He's one day going to be a king. Different kind of king, sadly. But he does achieve that. But yeah. He understands that they can't distract one another.
A very cold king is what he was going to be.
Yeah, exactly. But I think... You know, you've watched The Crown on Netflix.
Sure, loved it.
Not sponsored by them. I wish we were.
No, so good.
Fantastic dramatization, which kind of shows the harsher realities of being a monarch.
Right.
And actually, it's not that you have infinite power. It's that you have next to no power. You don't have the power to decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
You have to act in the best interests of your kingdom, your country, your people.
Mm-hmm.
And often those don't align with
you,
your own.
You have the appearance of power, and it seems to the outside that you are the power, but you really aren't the power at all.
Mm.
I loved that show, by the way. I think that if we can get a season two of that, that'd be lovely. I loved it. It was awesome.
I think they are making it. Apparently the queen herself really enjoyed it.
It gave me a view of your historical, certainly recent historical monarchy that we've never gotten anywhere else. Like, it's just absolutely brilliant.
It was super, super digestible. I loved it. It was really smart.
Yeah.
I got annoyed because I wasn't that much into that sort of period in English history.
Yeah.
And my wife gave me spoilers
of
like saying like, because doesn't she like end up going out with that other guy who's married and they have an affair. So I was like, whoa, what are you talking about? You know, like, and I realized, oh, it's history. You can't get too upset by that. But I did a little bit.
Yeah, I understand. You keep yourself in the dark and then these things feel like spoilers. I understand. It's
exactly,
totally fine.
Exactly.
So I got a question about the Arthas relationship. Well, not really a question, are the Christie Golden books considered canon in the...
Yes.
Okay. So if those are canonized, they were totally doing it in that Arthas book. Like they were basically doing it. Yeah. All the time. And that's great because it really sets up for the disappointment of what Arthas becomes.
And also you've got to look at Jaina genuinely loves Arthas.
Right.
Like, you know, like that's her prince. That's her man. That's mm-hmm. how it's always been.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time in Dalaran, there was another prince by the name of Kel'thas, who was kind of Kel'thas Sunstrider, heir to the throne of Silvermoon, and he's a very impressive mage, and he had his eyes on Jaina as well. And Jaina, you know, she could appreciate, you know, Kel'thas, you know, very attractive elf, but that kind of love triangle I never really feel like it was as developed as it could have been, in that she was very much Team Arthas the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's more of a love line with like a point looking at the line thinking, oh, that's a shame, I'd like to be involved in that. I don't know maths anyway. So
yeah,
they agree to break up.
Sure.
They focus on their studies, and fate, as it seems, is not done for their kindling relationship. What happens is some peoples up in the north of Azeroth, around Lordaeron and people like that, start getting sick from a plague, and this plague starts sweeping through the continent. So Antonidas was contacted by, in the game they call him the prophet, we know him to be
Medivh, who says, you gotta get out of it, guys. You gotta take your people over to Kalimdor. It's this land that if you just keep going left, and you're gonna get there. And he's like, that sounds crazy. I'm not doing that. But Jaina, who obviously was Antonidas's apprentice, had been watching this exchange and sensed, actually, hang on, this guy's super powerful. I don't think he's just like some crazy hermit. I think, you know, we should at least investigate. Antonidas was like, oh, I'm not sure. But all right, go on then. I'll tell you what. Why don't you meet up with Prince Arthas and investigate the plague?
Yeah.
And they head off to the village of Bryl, which we play through as undeads.
Well, yeah, that's right. This is all, yeah, this is
all
bringing it back.
Local to mm-hmm. where we are.
Mm-hmm.
But here, obviously, Jaina gets to hook up with Arthas again. And kind of as much as around them, everyone's dying, she's back with an old flame. They've both matured. Arthas is a fully fledged paladin of the Silver Hand. And Jaina is a, you know, she's still an apprentice, but she's a badass mage.
Yeah.
She's got some skills.
Yeah.
She's
she was born skills. With it, right? Like the thinking with her from what I remember reading was that she wasn't just someone who was training really well and paying attention in school, you know, being all Hermione or whatever, even though I think there's some comparisons to be made there, but
they're
she's
very Hermione.
Yeah. But she just came out. Not force sensitive, but whatever the equivalent of that is in the magic world, like just has the knack.
I don't know, in all fairness. Mm. Like, I don't believe there's any real documented kind of Jaina is the chosen one,
yeah,
or anything like that. Equally, in World of Warcraft, there hasn't been anything that indicates of who Jaina's mum is in terms of. Daelin Proudmoore, his wife, I don't think is ever really properly named. Mm. Now I could be wrong, so by all means Google it. But as far as I'm aware, she was born of mortal parents.
Yeah.
In a normal means. However, it's Warcraft.
Yeah.
There's always room for fun. The kind of consensus now is that magic on Azeroth is from manipulating the latent Titan energy that's in the air itself. So the arcane magic that permeates the whole planet, kind of from the seeping wound that is the Well of Eternity and things like that. Potentially, I don't know, there was some magic in there along with some of the sperm. I don't know. Maybe they were magic sperms. Maybe
sure.
She,
maybe.
Not my dad.
Yeah, that's, I like that
but
theory.
Yeah, there's no doubting she's got a gift.
And it's primarily frost, which means she's what, leveling faster, or what's her deal? Why is Fry frost?
So she gravitated towards the frost spec, I guess. I think it's just down to what works best. I don't think, again, lore wise, it may have been to echo. The kind of the chill that there is between her and Arthas, or, you know, as he becomes the Lich King, or I don't really know.
Right.
I think also it's just cool. She had a water elemental and everyone thought that's pretty badass.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Jaina and Arthas start seeking out what's going on.
Yeah.
And they find this infested grain. And it turns out that the grain is being poisoned or cursed by necromancer.
Tainted, right? I would
tainted,
say.
Tainted, yeah. Exactly. Tainted by this necromancer by the name of Kel'Thuzad.
Yeah, he's a butthole.
Now, Kel'Thuzad was a great mage of the Kirin Tor and Dalaran and was exiled for his fascination with the undead and reanimating corpses and really icky evil stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully for us, Arthas kills him. Sweet. Boom, job done. Or so you think. So Jaina and Arthas go back to Hearthglen, where sadly, yeah, they killed the guy who was tainting the grain, but the shipments had already gone out.
Mm-hmm.
And so these plague grains were getting handed out amongst the townsfolk. And these townsfolk were then turning into undead, which were then attacking other townsfolks, and it doesn't get too nice, really. So Jaina calls on the help of Uther, Uther the Lightbringer, leader of the Silver Hand of Paladins. But as much as Uther, Jaina, and Arthas manage to push back the undead from Hearthglen, it's all but screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthas now he's feeling the strain. These are his people. These are his future subjects. And here they are dying, being reanimated, and then him having to kill them. It seems crazy.
Mm.
So they head off to Stratholme, which is one of the larger cities,
mm-hmm.
Where apparently more of the grain was being shipped.
Yeah, and this is leading us to the culling of Stratholme.
Exactly, yeah. The Caverns of Time encounter. Now, so Jaina and Uther go along to Stratholme, but they don't get there in time, and the townspeople are already eating the tainted grain. So we've got Jaina, Uther, and Arthas and their forces, and they know. Whoops.
Do you think I have a question about the video games are video games and stories are stories, but when you get to the culling of Stratholme, what happens in the early goings of this grain problem is there's grain parked around, like waiting to be processed or taken to places where it's made into bread or whatever. And it's got like a green, it's got green stink lines coming off.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think we've got to, suspend our disbelief to the point where that is a game mechanic device, yeah. And otherwise it would be indetectable.
Okay.
Because if it was foul, people would, not that. I'm not buying that grain, mate. That's all gone off. Get rid of that. Whereas this obviously seems to be a very effective plague,
yeah.
In that people ingest it, consume it, and distribute it.
Yeah.
So they get there and they're set with this conundrum. Arthas says, okay, well, we got to kill these people while they're people, because that's a lot easier than killing them as undead. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do it either way. So why don't we go in, let's see if we can stem the flow of this grain. Maybe we kill enough people, then people won't be bitten or transform or eat the grain or whatever. And Uther's like, whoa, son. Oh, we're paladins. We're like, warriors of the light. We can't just go killing civilians. These are like your new subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And Arthas is like, well, you know what? I'm the king. Well, close enough. And you not agreeing with me, that's treason, mate. So, anyone who is true to their king will stand with me now and will kill everyone in Stratholme.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Jaina, come on. We've boned. You got my back. You understand it.
Yeah. Jaina's gets a little, like, you know gets what, a little Arthas? Heated there, right? Like, exactly. She's, yeah, it's hard.
She's like, I can't. I that's just, there must be a better way. This is, these are your people. So Jaina and Uther disappear for the mission duration.
Yeah.
And then they come back at the end once Arthas has destroyed it. And they're disgusted.
Yeah, they can't believe what he's made. In their mind, this is our barbaric turn. And absolutely the wrong decision to make. As my recollection of the little in-game dialogue sequence goes, they are none happy about Arthas and his motives.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Jaina is very much upset.
Yeah.
And Arthas leaves to go to Northrend to chase down Morgannis. Instead, she's now visited personally by Medivh.
Mm.
So Medivh's like, you know what? I think you got what it takes. Yeah. He's like the Simon Cowell of the Warcraft world. So he's like, you know what? I like what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think you've got a great look about you. I think you could go really far. I'm going to give you some help, though. A good direction.
Mm.
I'm going to send you guys west to go to Kalimdor. Take as many people and,
The Randy Yo Dog guy that sits next to Medivh if he's the Simon Cowell?
I mean, that would be good. That's a good thing. I guess Randy's a lot more kind of excitable and happy.
Yeah.
And I'd say a younger Khadgar, maybe.
Oh, okay. I love that.
He's quite into it. And he's like, you know what? Get me 640,000 of these things. No, it needs to be 640,001 because that would be stupid otherwise. It's like, you big pranker. It's just a big troll.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I love it.
So Jaina has now been witnessed the love of her life massacring a whole city.
Yeah.
I like to imagine it in a more, you know, visceral real world thing where there's just, you know, women and children and just like it's horrific. You know, he has culled a town like a massacre. It's a massacre. And this is a guy that she thought she could love.
Yeah.
How can anyone love someone who could do that and has that in them?
It's hard,
but it shows already the start of Arthas's fall,
yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll talk about in another podcast.
Sure.
Anywho, Jaina rocks up on Kalimdor and she finds orcs and starts having a little bit of a tussle, as is tradition, but comes out for the worse of it.
Yeah.
And so she decides to head off to Stone Talon Peaks, where she heads up into the mountain and senses that there's something going on.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, she comes across an orc and a tauren.
Mm.
Now, this orc, we know by the name of Thrall.
Yeah.
And we know him very well. Yeah. Thrall.
Yeah, we talked about him last time. It was all about Thrall last
friend,
time.
His friend, Cairn Bloodhoof.
Yeah.
And they were about to throw down when all of a sudden Medivh appears.
Mm.
And he says, hang on, guys. I was the one who sent you all here. I need you to ally. I need you to work together. And so Jaina at this point, she's been brought up in Dalaran. She's been brought up in Lordaeron. She's been brought up as a human. They know orcs are the enemy. That's what they're taught. But here she is being told, you need to give these guys a chance. In fact, if you guys don't work together, then you're going to find yourselves both dead to the Legion. So they start going on. Jaina helps Thrall by giving him a soul gem to capture Grom's essence, because Grom's been recursed. And so Thrall starts to trust Jaina, and Jaina starts to trust Thrall, even though not necessarily their troops were too keen about working alongside each other. But such is life. So they team up, and they then find some more cool guys in the form of Malfurion, Stormrage, and Tyrande. And they gather up around Mount Hyjal, where they have been told Medivh to defend.
Mm-hmm.
And basically Jaina finds out that Archimonde is coming. And Archimonde is one of the Eredar lords of the Burning Legion. He is a big, big dude who we fought a couple of times now. And in our continuity, at this point in time, Archimonde has been defeated.
Yeah, he's.
But this is in the past.
Sure.
And this is the first time we defeat him.
Right.
Now, being a demon, he can only be properly killed in the Twisting Nether or areas of immense fell corruption.
Right.
So we team up with the Night Elves and the Horde and Jaina representing the Alliance, and they manage to beat him with the use of Malfurion's horn, summoning a horde of wisps. He literally gets Zerg'd rushed, and he explodes, takes out the World Tree, and so Night Elves are no longer immortal, and the day, though, however, is saved.
Sure. The greater good has prevailed.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Jaina's on this new continent. They've defeated the Burning Legion, but she doesn't know really if it, you know, if it's worth returning home. Is that a place? At this point, Dalaran has been destroyed.
Yeah.
One of the first things Archimonde did was destroy Dalaran by crafting it out of sand and then ripping the sand apart. And magic then just caused the whole thing to explode. One of the best CG trailers of Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Yep.
And equally, if you appreciate more recently, Kil'jaeden, when he was spying on the folks within Dalaran in the latest patch trailer, it has a couple of homage shots that call call back to that amazing CG.
Sure. And that, and the latest one where the attack is called and, you know, you begin that whole,
yes,
that whole content is really cool. It's really well done.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. Very cool. So what happens now is Jaina founds the city of Theramore. Now, Theramore is the first human city to be founded on Kalimdor, and Jaina becomes the de facto ruler, and it's where the Alliance soldiers that were in that region and had followed her out from Lordaeron, their homes had been destroyed by the plague. There wasn't anything to go back to, so they all started anew. At the same sort of time, the orcs found their nation in Durotar called Orgrimmar, which is slightly north of where it goes. However, there's humans on Kalimdor that don't necessarily see eye to eye. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that her father, Daelin, had come to Kalimdor and was ready to kill the orcs. Mm-hmm. So Thrall and Rexxar get together, make a cool army. But obviously Jaina now is in another situation, mm-hmm, where now she's obviously got the loyalty to her father and to her nation, you know, the nation of Kul Tiraz, where she came from. She's got the experience with the Scourge and the Legion that kind of also puts everything into perspective. Like, we don't need to be at war with the orcs. You know, we've got mutual enemies that are far vaster. The Legion alone, like, why are we having these petty squabbles?
Yeah.
So Jaina helps out the Horde. She helps them get some ships for the goblins, and she orders her own troops to stand down.
Yeah.
She
throws them a bit of a bone, but it's a it's a big political bone.
At the same time, Jaina gets out of Dodge.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to fight her own men. But she asked Thor and Rexxar to keep the human casualties to a minimum.
Right.
That battle results in her father's death. So in many ways, her aiding the Horde and her abstaining from conflict puts a lot of that blood on her hands. Again, she sees it as a greater good, but it's still a tricky one.
Yeah.
So, as things progress, Jaina kind of continues on as the leader of Theramore. Mm-hmm. This is now around the time when World of Warcraft kicks up.
Right.
Jaina helps out Durotar, Orgrimmar from time to time. And she actually finds, during this time, she reunites with Adrian. Obviously, it's like meeting your childhood hero. Mm-hmm. So she meets the former guardian of Trisfall, basically they start a friendship. It's tricky. Jaina learns a lot, and actually at one point nearly dies, but Aegwynn is able to use her own life force to support Jaina. They end up defeating some warlocks that were a threat. And this actually formally signifies a non-aggression pact between the Horde and the Alliance.
Would you say that this period is the height of the Thrall Jaina friendship? Is this where we're seeing the best
of them? This is the point where they respect each other as neighbors, and they understand that the best thing for both their peoples is to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
There's more than enough to go around without either having to worry about the other. It's a tough sell to these people who have always been brought up as enemies, mm-hmm, but it's one that they know works.
Right.
So anyway, we then join ourselves around about the time of Wrath. In the Burning Crusade, Jaina doesn't really do anything. It's a bit of a shame. It would have been nice to have seen some of the developments between her and Kael'thas and whether or not that could go anywhere.
Yeah, very quiet. That was a quiet expansion for Jaina.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as we discussed with Varian, she accompanies him to the Undercity when they go to in the Battle of Undercity after Bolvar's been plagued and burnt. So they go to try and stop the undead. But Jaina says that, hang on, it's, you know, this isn't the way to do it. And, you know, we shouldn't be fighting each other. We need to fight Arthas. And so teleports everyone out of there.
Right.
They obviously continue through having this kind of conflict now, where Jaina is seen kind of almost like an outsider within the Alliance. She doesn't necessarily fit in as much as she is still valued. She's the most powerful mage the Alliance has. And however, her soft side, her compassion, is seen at this time as a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that Varian later learns to embrace, compassion, and that use that as a strength, and to have a bit of perspective and bigger picture and not be as emotional. But regardless, she doesn't make any friends when she teleports the Alliance out of the Undercity and back to Stormwind.
Right.
Next up, she is privy to a meeting at Dalaran, where Bran Bronzebeard talks about Alduar, and Varian and Garrosh come to blows. She isn't, you know, able to stop that altercation, but she's still seen, you know, her and Thror are seen as the kind of, you know, the soft ones, whereas we've got Garrosh and Varian as these two mighty warriors. But again, I think the perspective we gain is one that's not necessarily the best of attributes to have.
Couldn't she just freeze them? Like, just do a...
She could have done it again, but I think the whole point was, you know what? This isn't necessarily my fault, my fight. And, you know, she can't command the king. You know, what she did in the Undercity was reprehensible.
Yeah.
But she also saved a lot of lives and had helped a lot during that day. So, you know, that was a sort of thing like, if you do that again, I'll have your head.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of the relationship that had happened at that point.
Yeah.
But as we progress through Wrath of the Lich King, we come across the Citadel itself. And in there, we play through a series of dungeons, and they culminate at the Frozen Halls, which is where Arthas, King, Lich King at this point, keeps his sword, Frostmourne.
Yeah.
So we go into the Halls of Reflection, they...
One of my favorite moments in the game ever, by the way. I love
through
that.
Through the blade,
yeah.
The stolen souls can talk to her.
Yeah.
And Uther reappears. Now, we'll go into it more on Arthas' story, but Uther was killed by Arthas, and the... his remains, his urn, was used to as the phylactery for the Lich Kel'Thuzad.
Yeah.
So the very necromancer mage that they killed, ultimately they had to go through all that hassle to reborn him. And he was actually to make him, they had to use that the urn to keep his remains preserved long enough to then throw that into the Sun Well. For him then to be born as a Lich King, as a Lich,
right.
That actually corrupted the Sunwell and messed up all the Blood Elves,
right.
As well. So the Kel'Thuzad is one of the most pivotal characters in the story of Warcraft 3, and really the Azeroth as we know it today.
Yeah, but he gets weirdly, not, I won't say forgotten, but future references, fights with him and everything else in the Lich King and otherwise in World of Warcraft proper. He just feels like a weird piece of fan service for Warcraft 3 people who remember his role. But outside of that, he just feels like a crazy old skeleton man. Like,
yeah, exactly. People forget him as this kind of conniving necromancer mage that basically put all the wheels in motion alongside the Legion.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because I feel like there's more that could have been told there. Maybe the books are better at that.
I mean, the thing is I don't think we've ever properly destroyed his phylactery. Numerous times we've captured it and given it to people and it's been done elsewhere. So who knows? I think he always can come back.
Yeah,
he's a badass.
Yeah,
and a bad one at that. So Uther tells us that if we kill Arthas, someone else needs to be the Lich King.
Yeah.
And all this time, you know, Jaina's wrestling with that, those emotions. This is the man she loved. But is it? Can it still be the man she loves? Actually, in that encounter, Jaina runs off to take down Arthas to stop him. But she is very nearly killed by Arthas and manages to freeze him in place as he then slowly walks towards you as you fight off wave after wave before getting onto the skyship and getting out of dodge.
Right.
So Jaina at this point, I think, understands that she's now lost her father and her lover, and now she's going to have to try and avenge. But she, I think she's feeling very alone.
Right.
Very alone.
Right.
So we kill Arthas, and Jaina basically...
Does she mourn him at all? Does she feel... I don't remember if this...
So she does, I think. So basically, if you kill... if you do the Shadowmourne quest,
yeah,
when you complete that, you get a crate of Arthas's or the Lich King's belongings. So these are include a cool mount and some tabards, like a tabard of the Silver Hand, and a lot of these other cool things. One of these is Jaina's locket, and it allows you to teleport to Dalaran, old Dalaran. It's kind of useful. But you give it to her as part of the quest, and she weeps because that shows that the Lich King kept the locket because there was still a part of Arthas in there. There was still someone in there that loved her and wanted to keep that. And that is, yeah, that's pretty tough.
Yeah,
that's pretty.
Yeah, you'd imagine that you've got this, you know, the one true love of your life has turned into the ultimate evil in that world, and to be reminded of his hideous demise, despite the fact that it had to be done, you know, that's the ultimate in disappointing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you're gonna feel bad about that, I would think. But she's still not broken. She's still Jaina. She's still here to help, as she says in Heroes of the Storm. She's excited. Well, she's positive. She's all those things.
So after Wrath of Lich King, we had Cataclysm. In Cataclysm, she's at Thrall and Agra's wedding. It's a kind of awkward third wheel.
Yeah.
And doesn't really do too much. You know, the Alliance kind of builds a road in Theramore. But it's really in Mists where Jaina gets her next chapter.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. I think Jaina recognized that Garrosh isn't a suitable leader. Thrall was like, you know what? It's kind of, you know, my job to be the Earth Shaman now. I think I need to focus on that. And basically, they find out that Jaina is visited by Caligos. Now, Caligos is a blue dragon who actually was first introduced in a Richard Knack graphic novel about the Sunwell.
It involves
them basically reigniting the Sunwell.
Yeah.
And the way this works is at the end of the Burning Crusade, when we kill or to push back, kill Jaden, there's this human female trapped in a bubble, and it turns out actually she's the Sunwell personified. Kind of, it took human form. So when Kel'Thuzad was thrown into it and the well corrupted, its essence kind of formed into this being. And Caligos, being a blue dragon, was very attracted to her. He didn't really know why, but fair enough. And he protects her. But ultimately, she is returned to the Sunwell itself, and it's also purified then by the Adal, what are they called? The Naru. There we go.
Right.
So Caligos, off the back of that, is kind of a blue dragon who is interested in human females now. He's got a taste.
Yeah.
And him and Jaina, through the years, kind of have met together. And Jaina, as the most powerful mage at this point, obviously a blue dragon respects and enjoys smart magic users. We defeated the Aspect Malagos in Wrath of Lich King, and Kalagos kind of became the new aspect of magic. And so it's good. We had a good guy in charge. It's like having a really bad president that's gone all crazy, and we've ousted him and put someone who's friendly to our cause in there.
Right.
So we like Kalagos.
Right.
But he comes to Jaina and he says, I can't find the focusing iris. And if you remember, the focusing iris is what we use in the Eye of Eternity to kind of start the encounter. You know, we cool down Malagos by using that. And to use that, we had to use an element from a blue dragon that Kel'Thuzad had raised and all of the rest. Anyway, he's lost the focusing iris, which is super important. And they're like, oh, I don't know where it could be. It could be anywhere. And it turns out that it's kind of part of a bigger thing. So as part of the kind of falling out around Garrosh and the other leaders, Garrosh decides to take the fight, I guess, to Theramor. So we've got Garrosh commissions a WMD. So he commissions a mana bomb. Now, a mana bomb is like the most powerful arcane bomb, arcane blast you can imagine.
It's
really
as big as you can do. It's like the green fire of this story, like in Game of Thrones. It's like the ultimate in, oh crap, we can't. It's a nuke, really.
Yeah, exactly. So using this focusing iris, they managed to manufacture this huge mana bomb.
Yeah.
And the Horde attacks Theramore, basically that's Garrosh's plan, is to try and gather all the Alliance in one place. He always wants them to retaliate, mm-hmm. So then he can annihilate them with this mana bomb. But Ronin, who's the leader of the Kirin Tor, and Dalaran, he manages to teleport Jaina out in time, but at the cost of himself. He's going to there trying to minimize the blast effect.
Right.
This blast levels Theramore, levels a city. So it kills pretty much all the Alliance there, including Ronin. It includes Jaina's apprentice, who is a gnome named Kinnedy. And this is the last straw now for Jaina.
And wasn't she also mad that he yanked her out because she wanted to?
I think she would have liked to have kind of defended her people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in essence, Ronin's sacrifice has empowered her with vengeance. Mm-hmm. Everyone turns to dust. It's messed up. These mana bombs are not nice.
Mm-hmm.
So Jaina goes to Stormwind and she's like, Varian, we need to attack Orgrimmar. We need to retaliate. But the Alliance doesn't have the strength. So then Jaina goes to Dalaran. And she tries to convince the Kirin Tor to fight the Horde. And she wanted to, like, move Dalaran above Orgrimmar and just full force, mage, boosh. But Dalaran said, no, we're neutral. We don't take part in these sorts of wars.
Sure.
So then Jaina starts summoning water elementals, something she's very good at. And she summons enough to drown Orgrimmar.
Tsunami
of water elementals.
How did I miss this part? I don't know why I don't remember this.
All takes part in a book, and this is why this is tricky. So Tides of War,
right.
So
she's on the cover of that. She's the art of her is she's like drowning,
she's
and her
drowning
hair is
drowning in mana and water, and she's lost.
Yeah.
Lost at sea. Yeah. Jaina isn't the Jaina we once knew.
Yeah.
So Thrall goes to stop her, but she doesn't care about Thrall anymore. She thinks Thrall's responsible for everything. He's the one who put Garrosh in charge. He's got as much blood on his hand as Garrosh does.
Mm-hmm.
But Kalagos manages to intervene at the last minute. And
in dragon form or normal form?
In normal form.
Okay, all right.
and he takes Jaina away, and they settle down in Dalaran, and
have some kids, buy a little house.
Well, no. And basically, she's still quite raged.
Yeah.
But she basically thinks that she's in a kind of a delicate state, shall we put it? And she helps the Night Elves, who at this point in Mr. Pandaria have the Divine Bell. So if you remember this, this was in kind of scenario form. But the Divine Bell was a item constructed by the Mogu, and was used to infuse with Shaar energy, or extract emotions. It basically makes kind of perfect warriors, but at the cost of freedom of will.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Blood Elves within the Kirin Tor are super angry.
Yeah, always pissed, those guys. Never happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to steal the Divine Bell for the Horde. So Jaina purges Dalaran of all Horde. And she takes command of the Kirin Tor, and she officially aligns the Kirin Tor, these neutral band of mages, they're now the Alliance. And she's just done with the Horde. She's been betrayed two too many times. She is done. The Thunder King comes along. Now, with this, Jaina goes to the Isle of Thunder. Her job there is to prevent the Horde from obtaining the powers. Jaina comes face to face a couple of times with Lothamar. They have a bit of back and forth, and so we've got the Sun Reavers and her kind of, it's almost reminiscent of the Kel'thas says. But at this time, Jaina manages to infuse this titanic power within the Thunder King and the Isle of Thunder into a staff.
Yeah.
Now, this is something that's not really been touched on too much, but Jaina basically is wielding a weapon of the Titans now in terms of sheer power. Like, it's hugely, hugely powerful.
Yeah.
So her power level is way over 9,000.
She's OP.
She is OP at this point.
Right.
And she goes into the Siege of Orgrimmar, and she helps us on when we hit landfall. But we don't really see too much more of her till the cinematic at the end, where Jaina demands that the Horde is dismantled. But Varian, he's, mellowed in this time. He's learned a lot of lessons from the compassion and understanding of his son. And he decides otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So we then go into Warlords of Draenor. She is, at this point, Jaina is in charge of the Kirin Tor. She rules Dalaran. And she's invited into Draenor by Khadgar. And once Khadgar there was actually attacked by Garona, she reminds the Horde that the Horde is not allowed to be there and that they aren't the friends. Khadgar says, don't worry about it. We're all fine. But Jaina helps Khadgar empower the ring, the legendary ring that you make. And she plays ball, at least.
Yeah.
She's not fully gone. Now, in between Mists and Warlords, there was a book called War Crimes. And in that, Jaina kind of, to a point, comes to peace with some of the discretions of the Horde and how that isn't necessarily every orc, but maybe Garrosh and a few other orcs. But in games, we don't really see this echoed in too much yet.
Yeah.
The next time we kind of really come across Jaina is in Legion, where in Legion, Khadgar goes to Dalaran and says, can the Horde come back in? We need everyone for this. This is going to be pretty much.
This is one of those deals where we literally can't do it with
and
one half.
Basically, yeah, exactly. Jaina and one other of the Council of Six are, against the Horde coming in.
Yeah.
So she's like, well, Kieran Tor, if you guys, if the Council of Six is saying that, you know, 4v2 and you're going to let the Horde in, well, I'm done then. So now you got the Council of Five and I'm gone. And so then Khadgar steps in to become the new leader of the Kieran Tor. And actually Kalagos, Jaina's kind of on and off lover, steps in as one of the six.
Mm.
So that's kind of it when we get for Jaina to now. She stormed out in a huff. She has a hugely powerful Titanic-infused weapon.
Yeah.
She is the most gifted mage outside of maybe Medivh. I think Khadgar she'd probably beat.
Yeah.
Eowyn in her prime would probably own her, but still, it's, you know, she's a hugely powerful and unstable force out there.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen anything of her. Now, the theories that kind of go around.
Oh, yeah. And they're going around like crazy about like future content and her becoming a thousand different. I've heard everything from Lich Queen to some sort of new type of villain where her power overtakes her and she becomes our next big baddie in our next expansion. So nobody's got anything to base this on other than she's taken off and
is
pissed.
It's tricky. Yeah. It's tricky because she's lovely and she's also, you know, queen bitch at this time. Like she's not consistent. And that's either her writing or just her decision. But she's from Kul Tiras. Now, Kul Tiras is an island that originally was kind of much closer to Khazad-dûm and, kind of off the coast, kind of near Gilneas and stuff like that. But with the cataclysm, it's kind of gone. We don't really know where. Under the sea, maybe far away. One of the theories is that Jaina has gone back home to Kul Tiras, where she's maybe taken on the mantle of ruler. Maybe she has now her own faction. Does that faction align with the Alliance? Is it an impartial third party? Is it a don't like anyone faction? If we think that, as I do, we are going towards having an old god Cthulhu-like expansion featuring some of the kind of nasties under the sea, like the Naga and the creatures therein, I think that Jaina has quite a big role coming up. Kul Tiras could either be the Alliance stronghold if we are going to have some kind of South Seas type expansion. If we are going up against an old god, Jaina would be a super, super powerful and welcome ally. I think Jaina, I'd hope, could be redeemed and returned to the Jaina we knew if she were correctly given the perspective of, hang on, you know, there's still a lot of bad things out here that we need to protect everyone from. But at the end of the day, I don't know how easy it is to come back from everyone you know and love being killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been Jaina's life, really.
Yeah.
Is anyone she lets get close to her ends up dying.
Yeah, she's smarting on to it. Like it's no longer like if she tries to give herself either heart, soul, or hand to anybody, she's probably starting to feel a little cursed, you know? Not cursed, but she needs to not be the great peacemaker or the great bringing together the bridge maker. She's maybe needs to be, you know, the pissed off angry thing for a bit. And she is that right now, but what that means for her future is anybody's guess. I mean, I don't know. If I had to ask you like point blank, hey Terpster, do you think there's a scenario where we have to fight Jaina in some raid at some point? How do you answer that?
Yeah. I hope not. Just because I don't think unless she is, I think if she was the pinnacle of an expansion, then yeah, maybe I could get on board with that.
Yeah.
I think that we could do some good things there. If she is a boss or, you know, a thing within an expansion, I don't think she's fallen enough. She's not turned on the Alliance, really. She's abstained a couple times. But I think that we'd be in a scenario where she isn't justified as a unified enemy. Mm-hmm. And equally, she's Jaina. You know, I love her. She is, you know, a fantastic character, beautiful woman. And I think that it would be a real shame to have her go. That being said, I mean, she's slowly descending into madness. She's getting more and more kind of white hair. It's a tricky one for her.
Yeah.
But I think that it would be a real shame if we were to have her as a boss fight in the next expansion. I would like to see the next expansion develop her into something quite disgusting if we're going to end up killing her.
Well, I mean, it can't just be another, she's corrupted by a thing and now we got to rid her of the thing. Because that's every villain in this game. Every time.
It seems like. I think, you know, it doesn't have to be. And I think equally, she can decide that, you know, she doesn't have people anymore and everyone's weak. And, you know, she, much like many people, is corrupted by the absolute power she has.
Yeah.
You know, she's a hugely powerful mage that maybe she's just like, you know what? I'm done with this. I want to get rid of everyone. You know, it needs to be something that would unite us. Or if there was, say, for example, the old gods, say N'Zoth, when we fight him, he says, I can bring them back. And you're like, what? I can bring back Theramore. You know, all the people that died there. You know, if, say, for argument's sake, there was a mechanic like that, and Jaina was like, you know what? I'm not going to let you fight him.
Yeah.
You can't do that. This is our only chance to right the wrong that was, you know, what Garrosh did. And those sorts of quandaries, I think those would be really exciting to explore for Jaina, because Jaina would almost then be in a mirror of what Arthas faced.
Yeah.
When it's like, no one else wants to do this, but no one else sees what I see. And I'm the ruler. I'm the one who has to make those tricky calls. And we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Or you're not going to do it.
Right.
But who knows? So I don't know. I mean, like I said, exciting to think, you know, that we may have more Jaina in our lives in the future. She's unlikely to do too much more in Legion, short of if they want her to kind of pop in on a kind of flying saucer when we go to Argus.
Yeah.
But I can't see it happening.
Do you think she deserves this place that she, deserves is a weird word, but she is one of, in my mind, she's one of the great mascots of the game. Like the game has certain characters where you're like, all right, you get your Thrall, you got your Jaina.
Just look at the Hearthstone heroes, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, yeah. When you've got those, that's basically what you're looking at.
Those are all your big boys. And yeah, I love, and I like that. I think she deserves to be there. And I think some people are frustrated that she is in such a weird place right now, but some would argue that she has every right to be completely pissed off right now and to be jaded. And
that's what makes her so good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how much there is to kind of explore in game. I think a lot of the value you get from Jaina's perspective comes in the books, where you can follow her mental thoughts and you can see the events that happened to her. You know, the bombing of Theramore was a scenario that's gone now.
Yeah.
So you can't really explore that and see that and feel that and see the aftermath. It's
that buggy. Yeah, you can't go back and do those. Do you wish
it would be nice to, but at the same time, I don't have enough time to play what there is now.
Right, so, but if, you know, you're somebody who's entitled, if you're somebody who's fresh to the game who just rolled a 90 or did a 100 boost and just missed all that, it might be it'd just be nice if they could go on a little scavenger hunt one weekend and just see some of these key story points through scenarios and other content that's no longer there. I don't know. That seems like that'd be cool.
Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they can do, you know, there's plenty of ways to find all this stuff out without being in the actual scenario, but that Theramore scenario was pretty impactful. In fact, scenarios in general, I think, did not get the love they should have gotten, because now, I mean, the difference between a scenario as constituted in Mists of Pandaria is very different, or isn't all that different now than just like an in-game cutscene after a quest line.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of all together and not really a special thing, but I miss those. I thought those were cool.
Yeah, I think I think if there's enough reason where they need to kind of put in enough big set pieces, then scenarios work really well. Otherwise, I think it less interruption to the game, the better, really.
Yeah, maybe it was a lot of work for not a. I mean, you see it once and you're done, and it's not very repeatable. There weren't a lot of rewards tied to it, so I can kind of see why that would become a bother to the team. I mean, I'm making a lot of assumptions here, but in the end, I liked those and I missed those is all I want to say about those. But Jaina's future, who knows? We've got time to figure that out. Certainly we're not done with her. I mean, that seems obvious, right? This isn't just a disappearing character act where she's going to be gone for the next 6 expansions. It doesn't work that way, I don't think, with her. Aren't we more likely to see her sooner than we are like Thrall? Because Thrall's so busy with his own shit.
I think so. I think equally, the question would be is why would we need Thrall? We could. I think there's been enough focus on Thrall, and I think equally they could always bring him back in a kind of Illidan-esque fashion where it excites the player base and everyone goes and pre-orders. But I don't think they need to do that just yet.
No.
But who knows? Who knows? That would be something that, probably Chris would know better than we do. When he gets booked up, you just need to ask him to hang out more. And then, when he starts getting busy, you're like, okay, Thrall's coming back.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And there's no rush to do that. We just got done with it's not really a redemption story for Illidan, but in some ways, Illidan got...
I think it's a perspective story.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we haven't had from Jaina yet, really.
Yeah.
It's very hard to understand her perspective in-game.
Yeah. And there's an opportunity there. Also, I don't think the opening... So if you look at all the opening cinematics, I did this recently just for the crap of it. And without exception, other than just quick cuts, there's no female protagonists in these animated cinematics. The intros for a new expansion. Like last time we get Varian on a ship having self monologue with his letter to his son, and you get
a tiny little snippet of Sylvanas.
Yeah, a little bit of Sylvanas, but it's not quite the same. I would love a Jaina perspective beginning to something, some sort of way of honoring her in the way that Varian was honored. It doesn't mean she needs to die in a puff of green smoke or anything, but I would like to see that in this game's history so that it's just less giant, muscle-bound, scarred-faced dudes grunting and jumping and, yelling for Azeroth. It'd be nice if she could have her day.
I feel you.
Yeah, she's great. So there you go, folks. It's our deep dive into the world of Jaina Proudmoore.
I'd love to deep dive into Jaina Proudmoore.
Yeah, so for those of you who are hoping that we would get at least one slightly sexist line in, Terpster.
Oh, there you go. It's not sexist, Scott. It's sexy. That's her problem. She's too sexy.
She's a lovely lady.
She's the pinnacle of beauty. That's the problem. She defined beauty for me. I was at those formative years when I first came across Jaina.
Yeah.
So,
Many.
I hope that someday that there's a way to kind of marry an NPC in World of Warcraft in the game.
Sure.
Sure. And I'd like the original Terpster the Gnome. I'd like to hitch him up.
That's the new. It's the new secret VR project. It's the VR.
I really
project
like that. Just to retire
on.
When you retire a character, you get to have a little bit of wish fulfillment.
Sure.
And there you go.
I understand. Kind of a Quark's holosuite sort of experience. For
yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I understand.
I'd pay a lot of money for that.
I know you would. Anyway, there you go. We'll do more of these lore episodes in the future. We hope you guys enjoyed this one. Likely a much more normal episode next week.
Let us know what you want to hear next.
Yeah.
Email in.
Yeah, Jaina got picked primarily because you guys spoke up and said, hey, how about Jaina?
Someone said Jaina.
Yeah, got quite a few of those. So if somebody out there is feeling it for whoever, and you want
to... Doesn't have to be a character, it could be a thing, could be a such and such, could be like, I didn't understand Warcraft 2.
Mm-hmm.
All of those sorts of things, just, let us know.
Things that surprise me is once in a while Terps will go, we think that the magic and all the arcane energy in the air is because of the tear and the... whatever the
gaping wound,
the gaping wound, which is I never think of that until you remind me, and it's fascinating. So if you guys want
to
hear more about
the nature
of the world,
but you have
to
kind of ignore it because it still works when we go to Draenor and when we go to everywhere else. But anyway,
no matter what you are,
it's probably permeated within us.
Sure,
as well.
It's like stinky. It's like green stink lines on grain. You just have to have that in your game. It's fine.
Just suspend that disbelief.
Exactly. It's all that and more. Anyway, if you guys would like to send us any additional feedback about any of this, we're also welcome to that. Theinstance@gmail.com. It's going to do it for us. Oh, go to theinstance.net. All other stuff's there. If you want to contact us, get a hold of us. Find us on Twitter, all that stuff. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Terpster, thank you for your thoughtful commentary on the
worries.
Life of Jaina Pratmore.
If you're at Nerdtacular in a month or so, you can ask me questions to my face.
Yeah.
And I'll just be like, I don't know. Yeah. But there you go.
Yep, 30 days, everybody. You'll see Terpster and me and Patrick all in the same room. Maybe Dills, too, I think. That looks like that may be happening after all. Cool. So we'll see you guys in 30 days at Snowbird. In the meantime, more shows coming up, and we'll talk to you then.
Well, there you go, Scott. Atop my chair, I have informed you with many a tale. Only this tale can serve as a warning and also a bit of a fire starter if you're trying to have a bit of fun time alone. Jaina Proudmoore. Mwah.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I'm here to help.